Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Again, if you are new to this program, new to the network, and you can find that network, blacktalkradionetwork.com, of course, is what I'm speaking of. But if you're new to this program in that term, simply look it up. Look up United States of America Incorporated, and that will hopefully put you on the path to some truth. Welcome to today's broadcast. It is a Tuesday, a rather kind of chilly, cold Tuesday afternoon here. The weather's been changing. We've been getting some cold nights. It gets so hot in the house when you live in a house with other people. They may have a different comfort level with the heat and what have you. And then next thing you know, you opening up a window to get some relief from the heat. Get hit with that cold air, and that can lead to what? Colds and what have you. So I don't have one now, but I'm fighting it. I'm treating those symptoms. But yeah, that's what it's like here in North Carolina weather wise. Far as I know, people still trying to recover from Hurricane Matthew. So just want to send our thoughts and prayers to those people and everywhere that was impacted. But this happens all over the place. As yesterday I was listening to Tando radio show, and also we had mentioned the earthquake that hit Japan, but I think he also mentioned another earthquake, and I had read about them in Italy, and that follows prior earthquakes within weeks. I mean, there's been a lot of earthquakes going on, so there's a lot of people being impacted. Whether we want to say that these are man-made events, which many could be, with some of the technology that's reported to be out there. Obviously, the mainstream media is not going to tell you about that technology. These are closely guarded high secrets. You know, you might, if you had hacked into Hillary Clinton's email server, unsecured email server, you might know about some of those things and what have you. So, but again, thoughts and prayers out to all those people all over the planet who have been impacted by what they're calling natural disasters. Lots of casualties. Today is basically just a news day. We want to take a look at the news headlines of the past 24 hours, offer up my analysis. Certainly, listeners are welcome to offer their analysis of the day's news and also report any breaking news that they may know of that they feel like is international newsworthy. So, let me give out those phone numbers. The toll-free USA in Canada, you can call us toll-free at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Elsewhere in the United States, you can also reach us at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. 5056, and you can get international numbers, participate in the web chat, or use the internet-based voice over IP web phone that's provided for you at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. So those are the ways that you can chime in during the program to share your analysis, your observation, and your news. Now, these are the news items that I will be taking a look at today, and your commentary is welcome. But I'm taking a look at this blame game that, or let me restate that, the take no blame game. All right, that's a new game that it seems a lot of people are playing in the Democratic Party. Not only are they blaming other people, which is to be expected, but they're taking no blame. So I'm calling it the take no blame game. And it continues with the quote unquote leaders of the Democratic Party during the election, with CEO Barack Obama telling news reporters that he is not to blame for the rise of CEO-elect Donald Trump. I've already seen non-white people jump to defend Barack Obama, as some people ask the question of whether it's a repudiation of him or if he did anything to cause all of these racist suspects and confirmed racists to turn out in huge numbers for Donald Trump. He's saying, don't blame me. He's not to blame for the rise of CEO-elect Donald Trump. And again, I've been hearing on radio, black Democrats. No, I'm talking about a specific group of black people, a subgroup within a group in the system of racism. But black Democrats have been blaming young black voters who 30 are under, that's how they're described in these polls, for either a voting third party candidate or not turning out to vote. I do not advise not turning out to vote. Again, this is how you end up with Milwaukee County in Wisconsin with Sheriff David Clark. And then you're living in, you know, you are really deep behind enemy lines then, as they lead the nation, according to statistical data, on targeting black males and putting them into slavery. So that's how you can try to mitigate some of the constant abuse of people's human rights, especially based on race. That's some of the things that you can mitigate, is by, first of all, grooming your own sons and daughters to have morals and principles and mean that and live that example in front of them. Teach them all they need to know about the people activity area of politics. Enter them into debates at a young age. This is how that's why they have clubs. White people have clubs called Young Democrats, Young Republicans, Young Libertarians, whatever. They train the people that you see, most of them, I should say, that you see as board members, getting elected board members to USA Inc. or in your state and local offices. Most of these people, I would say 75%, were groomed as children, just like people groom their kids to grow up and become professional golfers, as we heard the story about Tiger Woods and saw, I remember seeing him on TV as a 9-year-old swinging a golf club on That's Incredible. We trained him at a run, put them in Pee Wee football. I played Little League baseball, starting off at T-ball at 8 years old and then playing hardball at 10. So we prepare our children to be athletic greats or to be participate in all these other people activity areas, usually to do with either sports or entertainment, although those two are the same thing, basically. It's to entertain other people. But we train it. That's where a lot of people, I got to watch my word usage when I say we. But we're not, for the most part, not that I have seen, what have not seen it in my family, so I'm talking about myself included. I was not exposed to politics at a young age or encouraged to participate in debates. I think I did run for president one time, though. I can't remember, but no, I wasn't told that. Nobody in my family that I saw was being groomed to run for state representative and then use that as a springboard perhaps to be the governor. This is how white people stay in power as well. If we're talking about in the context of the laws and customs that have been laid out. Not talking about a system that has been replaced with one of justice. I'm talking about things as they currently are. So, I mean, it has been shown that nations infiltrate other nations, armies infiltrate other armies. There is some, if you do things right, if you had the right strategies, the right people, you can infiltrate this system and bring about that change. And I that is what Young Progressive and others are attempting to do with the Democratic Party. So I'm like, really, as a political analyst, enjoying this right now, sitting on the sidelines, watching the civil war that's going on in the Democratic Party, the civil war that's going on in the Republican Party. War is in the air, and it has not been settled. There are power struggles going on behind closed doors, battles for positions and appointments. But again, we are not, for the most part, and I might as well say for the include white people, most white people don't train their kids. It's a select few of them. It's usually the slaver class, the ones that got a little bit money. If you trace their roots, you'll find that they inherited property and money that was built on the backs of enslaved persons and what have you. So those are the ones that really train their people. You better believe Barack Obama's life was plotted out for him. Those conversations was had with him. There every once in a while will be a wild card where somebody, it hasn't been groomed, and they say, I want to be a part of the change, and they run. But for the most part, those people go in there and they get corrupted. Because we're talking about a corrupt system. So, but it is just really been disgusting to see the display that Barack Obama has been putting on as CEO of USA Inc. and not taking responsibility. Leaders take responsibility. And I'll talk a little bit about that more. Also, a suspected racist and confirmed butthole of a Chili's manager, the Chili's restaurant chain. He was suspended after serving a black veteran a free meal on Veterans Day and then taking it back. Took it back, man, after a Trump supporter looked like an old cracker, suspected racist. And I say suspected racist because what reason did he have to question whether this veteran qualified to get this free meal from Chili's? Well, because we got to look at the variables, and this veteran was black. So this black veteran, then we got to do with a walker with a Trump sticker on it, an old racist cracker suspect, raising objections, and then this manager gonna take it back. Both of them white. So I want to talk about that. Want to talk about, again, I'm going to keep raising the issue of black people serving in the United States military. I feel like that I can speak honestly on that subject and have more information and more informed views on that, on black people serving in the military, because I have actually been in it 6 years. Spent 6 months in the war zone. So whenever I analyze an issue, my beliefs or my opinions on why black, how black people help the system the global system. They play a key role in maintaining the global system of racism, subjugation of indigenous people, committing war crimes, and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that later in another story. So when I talk about their participation in the bigger picture of things, taking the broader view, I'm talking about my younger self. Nobody told me. No, I never heard anybody on the radio or on television questioning whether or not it's wise for black people to serve in a army, military, whatever you want to call it, that's not spreading democracy. So let's stop playing these stupid games and acting like we're just robots, and a lot of us are acting that way, and to a certain extent on how you want to look at things. The human bodies, or human minds I should say, are kind of robotic in that you can program them. So I want to talk about that. Also, like I mentioned about military troops, U.S. military troops committing all kind of crimes, and we know they committing them. When you have high incidences of reported rape and underreported rape, sexual assault, all kind of crimes like that against a service member on service member. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Now, if you got people who are raped, their fellow soldier, fellow airmen, fellow seamen, whatever they call themselves, what do you think they'll do in a foreign land to people who don't look like them, don't even speak the same language? And I don't know what the atmosphere is like since I've been out, but even then, and from media reports, we hear about the practice of uncodified racism, where they're teaching, they're dehumanizing. This has been well documented as part of the programming of U.S. service members going back to the Vietnam War, I'm sure before. But there was a book, I did an interview with this white man named Nick Terse. I forget the name of his book, The Killing Something. It's not The Killing Fields, that's that movie. But it talked about the Nixon administration, therefore the military policy of kill anything that moves. It's either kill anything that moves or kill everything that moves. So the USA Inc., the corporation, has been put on notice that some of its military troops in Afghanistan could face prosecution in the International Criminal Court for war crimes that the U.S. government has not prosecuted. See, on the international stage, these racists, they always want to play like they the victim. They talk about and they refer people to the International Criminal Court, but they not a part of it. Even though one of the administrations signed a treaty, they never implemented. The USA Inc. is good about signing treaties and not implementing them, not following through. Does that sound familiar? I mean, I know it sounds stereotypical, but sometimes there is some truth at the root of stereotypes. But when indigenous, in the movies, we'll see indigenous folks, the phrase or the term, the white man speaks with forked tongue, never trust him. He's never honored his treaties and whatnot. So, yeah, they have signed the Rome Treaty, I believe it's called, for the International Criminal Court, but they don't implement it because they say, oh, these people going to be, they're so around the world going to use that as a tool to pick on American service members and whatnot. No, they want to shield them, just like they got the agreement for contractors. These are private contractors and for service members operating in Iraq when they first invaded it and finally got a puppet government, which really ain't trying to be a puppet. they thought they had some strings attached, but I don't want to go on off on that tangent. But they made them sign something like a forces agreement, occupation agreement. That's what we'll just call. They all U.S. personnel, whether private or military, civilian or military, were immune, got immunity. Y'all hear that stuff in the movies, like, you know, when a dignitary comes here and rapes a maid or something, that really happened, Strauss-Kahn. They have diplomatic immunity. They immune from all these. They get these sort of agreements. So the war crimes are occurring, and the United States is not prosecuting. And so what in short, what the ICC is saying, it don't matter if the United States signed the agreement or whatnot. Afghanistan is part of it. These other nations where these crimes are being committed are part of the ICC. And if you are in or operating on their soil, then you can be indicted for war crimes. It don't matter if your government signed papers or not. Doesn't matter if you put in a puppet government who gave you a blanket immunity from war crimes. So that's the story we want to take a look at. The father of a dead Dallas cop, one of them dead Dallas cops down there in Dallas, obviously, Dallas, Texas, because there is a Dallas, North Carolina, but down there in Dallas, Texas, we know the story about the five cops that got killed while participating in what I would call a joint demonstration with Black Lives Matter in the Dallas Police Department. The way that the proxy racist tool known as police chief David, whatever his name was, I can't recall right now, he said they planned it with the demonstrators in the different organizations marching under the banner Black Lives Matter. He planned that with them. They planned the route and all of that, and we're going to provide the security. And that is when former United States veteran Michael X. Johnson allegedly killed five of them during this peaceful march. So, but anyway, the father of this dead cop, one of the dead cops, is suing Black Lives Matter. I imagine they must be naming people who are part of the organization Black Lives Matter, which did register as a nonprofit, has a website. Lisa Garza and those other women that she started it with, DeRay McKesson, which he's named in the article, he split off with them and formed Campaign Zero. So when they say BLM, who they talking about? This I don't even want to go there, but also Al Sharpton is named in it, reportedly. The New Black Panther Party, I don't know if they're talking about the Houston chapter or another chapter. There was a split in that but he's in this civil suit. He's suing them, saying that they caused the civil war that led to their son or his son being killed along with the other Dallas cops. And again, this was allegedly at the hands of U.S. veteran military hero Michael X. Johnson. Didn't have anything to do with it. These other people had. He acted alone. He even took the extraordinary step to tell people, make a post. I don't know how he did it, social media, post a video. Nobody else had anything to do with this. This is me acting on my own accord. For the codified people out there, or people aware of the term Mecca in Neely Fuller's code. So that was his decision on how he was going to counter the system of racism, specifically all of the violence that black people are dying at the hands of slave catchers in this country. He said, I guess to himself, I did not serve, how many tours he served in Afghanistan for some so-called freedom and liberty and spreading democracy, while my people ain't even got it right now. And in fact, slavery is still being practiced. That's me talking now. I don't think he mentioned the 13th Amendment and legalized slavery and human trafficking at all. But this father is suing those organizations and Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton's getting named in a lot of lawsuits. So we'll take a look at that story. The Donald Trump effect continues as more hoods are coming off public officials. And while it is on fees, or I should say, best practices on the battlefield to view all white people as suspected racists, but at the same time, I also view non-white people the same way as suspected proxies. So you got to operate on the battlefield till people reveal themselves, and sometimes that takes time. But the Donald Trump effect is where you've had codified public officials, whether they working for corporations, whether they working for in government positions, elected officials, appointed officials, and what have you. But a lot of them have been becoming less and less codified in their language in terms of practicing racism. So now these people that we suspected of being racist crackers are confirming that they are indeed racist. So this latest incident involves a West Virginia official. I'll pull up her name, who called the FLOTUS Michelle Obama a ape in heels. Yes, she did. That she went there. I mean, all during the campaign, we saw racist crackers. Not suspects, because I think if you are sharing memes and portraying Michelle Obama or any black person as apes and with the historical, you know, reference all throughout history of that being used to express racist views, if you're doing anything like that, I can pretty much say with certainty that you are racist. Non-racist don't share stuff like that. So you got this West Virginia official, I don't know at this time if she's elected or appointed. What's going on? The media is describing her as an official, but we need to check the article to see the details. But she called Michelle Obama a ape in heels. And I wrote on my profile in BTR Community as I was laying out these stories for the show. I wrote, though, but this is going to lead to a lot of victims of racism jumping to rightly defend Michelle Obama in this racist act, just the latest incident of racism involving the Obamas that we can just certainly say is an act of racism, and now people will defend them and confuse, and then they get confused and don't look at the bigger picture and also consider the FLOTUS role in the system. She the FLOTUS of the United States. Do you know what that means? She is not one of us. So, but Donald Trump effect, these hoods are coming off. The hood's been off with Donald Trump. He pulled them off during the campaign and what have you. He can try to walk back and say he was acting or tapping into the Southern strategy. He can just to win, because he's a winner and all of that, and winners do whatever it takes to win. You know how these people have I was about to say a moral code, but an immoral code, cheat. I mean, we saw that on display in the Democratic primary. So Michelle Obama being called an ape in heels by, I suspect, a member of the Democratic Party. I mean, excuse me, Republican Party. But in West Virginia, you got some uncodified, they borderline codified in the heels and what have you. So it could have been a Democrat. Who knows? Research claims to suggest, speaking of codification, the last story that I'll share, claims to suggest that codified programming has led to less biased behavior in people if the right words are used when having conversation with people about those biases that they hold or may hold. The key that this article is claiming is don't call people names, don't name call. In codification, they say that. So we want to take a look at this. There are many angles we could look at this, but I was also reminded that Malcolm X said this in the 1960s. The founding video. Why I'll call it the founding video. I saw this video of Malcolm X being interviewed by a corporate media news reporter, suspected racist, agent for COINTELPRO, was asking him some questions, and they were talking about media and whatnot, and Malcolm X was explaining how media is used. He was talking specifically about television and news media, because remember, televisions had only been around about maybe a decade, a little over a decade, sometime in the 1950s. We're talking in the 60s. Malcolm was saying this can be used to program white people to stop practicing racism. And it could also program black people to stop begging white people to stop practicing racism and end the racism for themselves. Teaching self-help. So here we are in 2016. There is some research that seems to support that codified programming now. I get it twisted. Being codified doesn't mean calling the system white supremacy or racist. That's not codification. That's just how we explain to other non-white people who are victims of racism to help them become less confused when we're speaking only to among ourselves. We're not talking to white people, because I'm sure white people talk differently when there are a month where there's no black people in the room or anyone else. Sometimes they don't care. They don't care if it's the black person in the room. In fact, whether or not they've been drinking or not, they may revert to terroristic behavior towards that person. But again, not to go off on a tangent, this research seems to suggest that programming can lead to less bias. Is the word they use. We could use the word racist. You could use the word sexist, homophobic, whatever ism, whatever Afrophobia, whatever. You're trying to program people to be more accepting of it, or to change their, basically it's actually talking about changing behavior. But again, like I said earlier, the human body is robotic in that it is susceptible to external programming. This is why only five to six companies, media companies, mostly based here in the U.S., some might be based in Europe, but then you know how they have these conglomerates and partnerships and all of that, partnerships and, yeah, joint ventures and what have you. But you have six European companies that's controlling 95% of the world's media. They could be using their vast mass communication network, as Malcolm X pointed out in the 60s, to program white people not to practice racism or any other ism. Let's just say mistreatment of people. That covers everything. When we, you know, I go by the principle, treat others how you would want to be treated. So we have some research. Let's take a look at that research. So I'm going to take a station identification break, as I laid out some of the news I want to get deeper into. Running up until about a quarter till six, as we then will get ready to transition the station to Tando Radio Show. So you have time to get your comments and questions. Please don't wait to the last minute if you have anything that you would like to share. Again, the way that you can get in on the conversation, once I call for open lines, for you to open up your lines, You can call 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. There's 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And there is the web-based phone and chat room where you will also have access to some international numbers in about 50 different countries. As I know, a lot of the listeners, people who tune into this station, I believe most of your countries are covered. So those are the ways that you can now connect with the program. As I stated yesterday, we have shut down that other line. I'm sorry, I posted that other conference line number. I need to change my HTML script that I got saved when I post programs and remove that number. But so these are the new ways that you can connect with any other programming that you hear on the digital radio station, Black Talk Radio News. So when I come back, we'll jump into some of those news stories. But before I do, what I'm going to do is, I didn't announce this, but I'm going to start doing a segment, Spotlight on Black Radio, Spotlight on Black Radio stations and what have you. As y'all know, we run the Black Radio Stations Matter campaign to fund some of our media operations through the Black Talk Media Project, which manages BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, also leases out audio streams, digital audio streams to independent media producers. And so we're always spotlighting them because you will find in the main media player listings for those stations where you could tune in to them right from Black Talk Radio, or you'll see them in the menu, the main menu with the name of their station or what have you. But I want to start spotlighting some of the media that I come across. And I'm going to start with A Freedman Speaks. I think I mentioned it the other day, so I'm going to jump to another one. Justice Radio Station. They do have a listing, but you can find them online at, I don't want to say because I don't want to give out the wrong one, but they have a listing on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. I just updated their listing. I can't remember it right now. I think it's yourjusticebookstore.info, but you can find the link on their listing on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com/Justice Radio Station. But I was listening to a program. I don't know if it's new. I have been seeing their promos come across the front page as they post to the Black Talk Radio Network, their live programming. But it seems like they're doing a show every night at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So I tuned in last night, and I was blown away by the quality of the programming. I really, really was. I was blown away by the quality of the programming. Just the information that was being relayed to the listeners, and they didn't have any caller participation or anything like that, but they had enough content and knew what they wanted to talk about that they were able to do so for 2 hours, no problem. Helps when you have a co-host, but I thought that was an excellent broadcast. I was like really, really, really impressed with the quality of their programming and content. So just want to put the spotlight on them. I'm going to start making this a regular segment. There's not a whole lot of really independent Black media out there. And there are certain stations, although they have Black people on them, they are not owned by Black people. And a lot of times these Black people are not using their content to program people in a constructive manner, but they produce content to program them to act in unconstructive ways or to distract them, entertain them. So want to just announce that I'm going to start doing that more. And if you got an independent radio station, I'm talking about digital radio streams, Icecast or Shoutcast streams, it doesn't matter if you have your services through Black Talk Media Project, as some of those in the listing do not. If you're producing quality programming that I think helps more than hurts, because nobody's perfect, I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with the programming on this station, but if I think you're putting forth an effort, it doesn't matter if your station is through, your services are through Black Talk Media Project, we will put a listing on our network and help people find your media, because that's what part of our mission as a nonprofit based here in North Carolina. So check that out. All right, that's Justice Radio Station. Right, I'm going to take a station identification break, kick some short message music. I think we got a commercial or two, or a promo or two. We do have the, it just come to my remembrance, the State of the Black World Conference kicking off in New Jersey tomorrow. So we'll run that promo if you're in the New Jersey, New York area within travel distance. I mean, you could be in Washington, D.C., jump on a train. Yeah, I think, you know, even Charlotte, I could be there in hours if I had a staff that would allow me to do that. Otherwise, I'm tied to the station doing the engineering and all that, which I enjoy, or I wouldn't do it. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA, Inc. Just one more time, because repetition is how we remember things. The telephone numbers are 866-510-9025-704-802-5056. We'll be back after these short messages.
Marcus Mosiah Garvey once said, "The greatest weapon used against the Negro is disorganization." If you believe it is finally time to organize, if you believe Black people should have their own political party and understand the importance of block voting, but more importantly, understand and want to practice organized group economics, then you need to join the 1 million conscious contributors and voters. The founders of this organization hold firm to their belief that there are at least 1 million Black people, or 2 out of every 100 Black persons in this country, who have the best interests of Black people collectively foremost in their...
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio.
What if we didn't let mainstream media pretend hundreds of Black leaders don't exist as their way to prevent us from realizing our collective struggle and our strength? Picture it. If we really knew, what would real Black unity look like? Visualize it. What if the Black world could put aside our differences and come together to not just talk, but to truly create solutions? Converge on Newark, New Jersey for the historic State of the Black World Conference, the interorganizational Black unity event of the century. Join us November 16th through 20th, 2016. 5 full days of strategic and tactical collaboration sessions to take back control of our communities and resources worldwide. Don't just wait for someone else to solve our problems. Become a part of the solution. The State of the Black World Convention, November 16th through 20th, 2016, Newark, New Jersey. Register today at www.letsbuyblack365.com/event/SOB.
On this relief, brothers and sisters, you can see many concepts where they came in, as I said, like scavengers, and picked different pieces. On this particular relief, you can see where the Western world, through Judaism, took a piece of a concept of the creation story from. You can see where the Greek philosophers took a concept of Greek philosophy from. And you can also see where Christianity took a concept, European Christianity took a concept from. So let's break it down.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Today's date again is November the 15th, 2016. Just what, a month and a couple of weeks, about 6 weeks left in this year, and we'll be headed into 2017. And on January the 20th, one of the most uncodified races to ever be selected to become the CEO of USA Inc. will be in the White House. And people have already been making a lot of jokes about his wife. And I was thinking about that last night because of her background coming from Europe as a poor person and using her body and her looks to get into modeling, and we know the things that go behind the scenes and that industry and what have you. We've heard the stories, we've heard the testimonies and whatnot of former models of how these young women can be exploited and, as they say on the street, turned out. And all the photos that she took now as an adult of her being naked, taking centerfold pictures and in provocative poses and what have you. There are people who have made jokes, and I would say pretty nasty jokes, and I don't agree with making jokes about her being a former stripper or something like that. I don't know if she ever danced on a pole or anything like that. Well, a stripper's pole, but you know, I just think that's not cool. That's not cool. Her past is her past. People are forced to do things out there in them streets, even now, to survive in this world. And so I can foresee people sharing that type of stuff like they did with President Obama's mama. I heard those photos were doctored. I don't know. But they published them, people putting them out there. I think that stuff is so tacky, so trashy. So don't be that person. Don't share that kind of stuff of this woman. Oh, these pictures from her past to try to shame somebody. They call that like body shaming and what have you. So I don't know why I brought that up, but it was just on my mind. So that's why I brought it up. So I want to jump into this first story though. You got USA Today, Gregory Court, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And Mr. Court says that President, in his headline, again, you can't just read the headlines because they can be misleading, but the headline that the editor chose for this USA Today article says, Obama says he's not responsible for Trump's rise to power. And I think it has a video. I meant to clip and make some audio, but I did not because I got busy on something else. So we may hear the CEO, outgoing CEO of USA Inc. in his own words. Yeah, we're going to take a listen to that. It may play an ad, but he's being questioned. Does he take any responsibility in Donald Trump becoming president-elect, CEO-elect, or anything. And based on what the news report, okay, here we go. All right, but based on the news reports, he's saying don't blame me. And it's about to get real confusing out there. So there we go. Yeah, I knew it was going to play an ad. I hate those, but I understand people got to make money to pay for the resources. All right, here we go.
You've seen some of the rhetoric among Republican elected officials and activists and media. Some of it pretty troubling and not necessarily connected to facts, but being used effectively to mobilize people. And obviously, President-elect Trump tapped into that particular strain within the Republican Party and then was able to broaden that enough and get enough votes to win the election. Time will now tell whether the prescriptions that are being offered, whether Brexit or with respect to the U.S. election, ends up actually satisfying those people who've been fearful or angry or concerned. And I think that's going to be an interesting test, because I think I can make a pretty strong argument that the policies we put forward were the right ones, that we've grown faster than just about any advanced economy. The country is indisputably better off, and those folks who voted for the president-elect are better off than they were when I came into office, for the most part. The lesson I draw, and I think people can draw a lot of lessons, but maybe one that cuts across countries, is we have to deal with issues like inequality. We have to deal with issues of economic dislocation. We have to deal with people's fears that their children won't do as well as they have. The more aggressively and effectively we deal with those issues, the less those fears may channel themselves into counterproductive approaches that pit people against each other.
Okay, what I heard there was a bunch of buckets of words, as Justice would say on the radio station, the context of white supremacy. Buckets and buckets of words. Give me just a moment. Let me stop this because I want to read some of this article. It's not cool in the web development industry to be having articles ads start up automatically, and that leads to your page. People having problems loading your page. That's a quick, you know, professional tip to the webmasters over there at USA Today. But let me get back to what we just heard. So basically, President Obama is playing the take no blame game. This is what he said. He said to Matt Lauer on NBC's corporate media plantation, he said, "You know, talk to me if he wins," referring to Donald Trump. "Then we'll have a conversation about how responsible I feel about it." Now, I don't know the context and what question Matt Lauer asked CEO Obama to elicit that response right there, but he has not really given a cogent response to Donald Trump winning. And just using the same talking points we hear from Democrats who do nothing to address racism other than with words. He talked about his policies, and the policies we laid out were good policies, and those policies can't be the reason that people are angry and at the Democrats or my presidency or my leadership and no, that's not the reason. And, you know, saying Donald Trump did tap into some racism out there. He did. That's an undisputable truth. But you can't just simply blame it all on that. Maybe that's what put him over the tipping point. But you also have to consider those protest votes where people voted for Donald Trump as a protest vote against Hillary Clinton to do damage to the Democratic Party, which is having a civil war right now. Been reading articles about those internal battles and who will be taking over the DNC and that whole apparatus over there. That President Obama, if he was a leader, if he was in charge, traditionally the president is supposed to be in charge of the Democratic Party. He's looked at as the leader. He's the shot caller. His opinion matters. Not so as it has come to the presidency or the administration of CEO Obama. Not so. His policies in many ways have harmed more than they're helping. We talk about globally because I'm not a type of person where I do. My primary concern is with black people and the oppression and enslavement of black people. I have a general concern for people, period. So I always take a wide view of the battlefield, and I looked at all those casualties, increased casualties once he came into office, because when these proxies, and again, some stereotypes have a tiny seed of reality, and then Hollywood or the media just magnifies it and it becomes misused. But usually the president is the shot caller. President Obama has not been a shot caller. Doesn't appear to be. He tries to get an image of a strong, well, I would say black man, but he don't refer to himself in these terms. He doesn't, So that in the context of the Democratic Party, the way things supposed to be. Now you can make excuses and say, well, he's black and he's of lower intelligence of the Clintons, who are white, European, Arkansas crackers. And that's why they the shot callers and running the Democratic Party. Then ran it right into the freaking ground. And I hope what they have done will run them right into a prison cell. But he has taken a back seat to these people. But now he want to put himself out there like a shot caller, this competent leader. I hear many black people, oh, he's been the best CEO of USA Inc. and all this and all that. Everything this man has done has benefited the corporation. It has not benefited you. It has not benefited most people in the United States, regardless of racial classification. Only ones that's benefited is the 1%. The bankers who nearly brought down the global economy, who he gave blanket immunity to, and then handed big fat welfare checks on some rhetoric about they too big to fail. All these people would have been out of jobs and blah, 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 blah. So that's the excuse, right? So if I'm running a criminal syndicate and I'm employing, let's say I got 200 people I'm employing through my street drug pharmaceutical business and whatnot, and I'm employing all these people, so when I get arrested for running this criminal network, brought up on RICO charges, all that, are you going to talk about I'm too big to fail, that all these people would lose their jobs or whatnot? What if I got kingpin status and I'm employing tens of thousands of people who are saving the U.S. government money because they're not on welfare, because they're making a lot of money off of the drugs that you have prohibited, thus creating the street market. Thank you very much. So we're saving you money. Do you think that they destroy criminal organizations or give them a pass because they employ lots of people. Well, they do give certain ones that. And that's the mostly been bankers. Now, let's get outside of the mortgage fraud, and that's what we should call it. They want to call it mortgage swaps, credit swaps, whatever. I'm familiar with some of those terms, but what it boils down to is fraud on a massive scale, on a scale so massive, it put the global U.S. controlled economy on his knees. And Barack Obama had, they give him credit for coming in and saving it. So that's what he did. So he not taking responsibility for the election of Trump in that he supposed to have some pull or some sway in the Democratic Party. So why didn't he say anything when it was coming out through WikiLeaks emails that the Democratic Party, its operatives, Clinton campaign was cheating during the primary, which is supposed to be, for lack of a better term, a fair process? Here we got these emails. We get these people resigning. What does Barack Obama show leadership and say that Hillary Clinton should withdraw based on these emails and these other people should step down? Did he show leadership? No, he ain't say a word. He sat on the sidelines like the water boy. Bring me in when y'all need me. When y'all need some water, bring me in. You need a towel to wipe the sweat off your brow, I'm your guy. I don't understand why black men and women look at this man like he's some kind of role model. He has displayed nothing but weakness, even in the proxy role. But when you then didn't do those, you didn't show any kind of ethics whatsoever in handling this scandal, not only in your own administration when she was there, but as a party boss, you the CEO of USA Inc., the executive branch. You gonna tell me that this person is not at the top of the pecking order in his own party? Now, it might be a couple of more bosses up there. So his party is the ones that decided to run a corrupt process that got exposed. Instead of accepting responsibility, they tried to continue to lie to the American public that these were doctored emails, stolen, blah, blah, blah. The Russians did it, blah, blah, blah. Nothing but a bucket of lies. Yet this man and his wife went out there campaigning for this woman who caused all this damage in his own administration. But then you get behind the conspiracy to cheat Senator Bernie Sanders out the nomination and everybody else that ran talk about entitlements. It's Hillary's turn. She's entitled to this. I thought the whole women's movement was about I can earn my way to anything I attain, and I don't want to be treated differently. I want to be treated equally. Then what entitles her to that nomination? Then, we're talking about a criminal, corrupt organization that was run as a crime syndicate. We ain't talking about no above board political organization, and he was part of that conspiracy. And even though all of this is coming out in the WikiLeaks, and enough people are getting a hold of the information and saying, you know what? President Obama, Michelle Obama, any of these other proxies that the Clinton crime syndicate sends out here on the trail, I don't care. They are not going to persuade me to direct any energy, any money, and any votes their way. So Barack Obama, as CEO of USA Inc., as one of the bosses, apparently not the big boss of the Democratic Party, he raised a lot of money for, but, you know, wants to blame everybody but himself. I thought we were supposed to take responsibility for our mistakes. I thought that's what leadership was about. When we make bad judgments, when we make bad calls, that we be humble and we say, you know what? I made a mistake. I cannot in good confidence come out here on the trail knowing all that I know about the unethical way the process was being run by the DNC. I cannot in good conscience and faith endorse Hillary Clinton because of the way she wrecked my State Department, where a lot of people might be going to jail, including myself. Caused a whole lot of unnecessary wars and what have you. No, I cannot recommend her, so I'm going to tell you I'd rather you vote for whoever except for the obvious criminal. So this is crazy. We cannot keep making excuses for this type of behavior of black people being showcased in this system. I'll just ask some questions. Does Barack Obama have free will? Does he have, in fact, his own mind? I don't see no bolts coming out of his temples or no funny looking marks on the back of his neck in any photos to suggest he under some kind of mind control or whatnot, but who knows? But does he have free will? Is he intelligent? Is he capable of making his own life decisions? If the answer to any of those are yes, then I don't find any rooms to make excuses. Not even in the context of the system, because he is part of the system. He a cog in the system. So it looked like we got a call from Oklahoma City that wants to chime in. Let me tell the other callers on the board again, we're just using this conference line now. The telephone number is 866-510-9025. That again is 866-510-9025. You can also reach us at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. If you are on the board, if you want to unmute yourself, hit **. When I see you are unmuted, I'll call you out as I just called out. Oklahoma City, do you have something that you would like to share with the listeners? You may have yourself muted. Okay. Yes, we can hear you now. It's Mayo, right?
All right, brother. Yes, sir. I was watching this. Got an echo going on. Can you hear that echo?
Actually, no, I don't hear it on this okay. End. Let me try this. I'm going to mute you and unmute you. Sometimes that'll clear it up. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it went away. Okay. I was just chiming in on this. I'm watching the news. That's why I didn't hear you call on me about this. Will Rogers at the airport, apparently it's the airport employee, shot somebody and killed them. And they got the whole airport locked down. And, you know, I'm watching this. It's like a big show. It's like, you know, like a movie. And I'm thinking, like, in the next 6 to 8 months, how different this airport is going to be. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but, like, I mean, it's like giving them reasons to ramp it up.
You're talking about, while I've heard people like Alex Jones and others talk about the coming police state. It's been a police state for 500 or more years on this continent for non-white people. So what are you talking about, the coming police state? But you're talking about increased security, checkpoints, all that kind of
like
stuff.
Like the Hegelian dialectic, create the problem, and And I bet you it's going to get bad, because I'm thinking about, and Oklahoma is a big, big proponent of, I mean, this is one of the reddest states in the country, man. And, you know, these people back Trump, like, he got like 75% of the vote out here in this state. So, it's, yeah, we got some stuff coming, and they say that they're going to, the governor, what is Mary Fallon, the governor? She was rated the worst governor in the country, and she might be like Secretary of State or something. I think he's about to bring her up. This is crazy, man. I'm just watching everything, brother. I'm just analyzing it, but I bet you that airport situation is going to change. You ain't going to be able to breeze through there as easy as you could last week.
Yeah, I suspect it will. I suspect it will, but I don't know what to say, man. I mean, really, sometimes I think these are false flags. Sometimes I do think that individuals carry out these acts out of frustration, and that's the only way they know how to strike back at the system, by attacking civilians and what have you. And so I don't know, man, but the system will take advantage of it, whether they're the cause of it or not.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it was staged myself, because, you know, it's like they're saying now it's two employees, both of them work for the same airline, and one guy killed him, and they looking for him, and they can't find him in the airport. You can't find somebody in the airport. You know, there's cameras on every angle of an airport. The FAA is going to make sure of that. And, you know, it's just this big mystery, and it's just, I don't know. I don't feel right about it. I think it's a plan, but that's all I wanted to let you know about, brother. Thank you for taking my call, man, and I love you, brother. Peace.
All right, peace. One love always. Okay. Thank you for sharing that breaking news. They always take advantage of these things. The things to be watching right now is things like who will be appointed to Homeland Security Chief, who will become the next FBI Director, will Comey stay in there, who will become the next U.S. Attorney General, who will get appointed to be the Drug Enforcement Agency head. I mean, we have all these different agencies and positions that people, I just don't think, know how much impacts their everyday lives and what we see in the headlines. Looks like we got a call from New Jersey wants to chime in. New Jersey, go right ahead. The mic's yours.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Why? Okay, Jersey girl in the house. I will be in the house at the State of the World Black Conference that is happening starting tomorrow, November 16th, and I will have my black the T-shirt that you sent.
All right.
Going at a while. What I want to say, basically, I'm kind of like two-folded. I know you just mentioned something about Trump's wife, and I got to tell you, Mr. Reed and audience, I'm kind of a little relishing in the fact that they're showing her pictures, because they have done so much damage to Michelle Obama, talking about her big behind and all these things. I mean, this woman is a very intelligent woman, Miss Obama, and, you know, I know that the former first ladies are rolling in their grave. They never talked about her. And I know, had it been a Michelle Obama, she ever had new photos or anything like that, it would have been terrible. So, I mean, as a woman, I'm kind of relishing the fact, because this woman, you know, like I said, this whole Trump thing to me is just taken aback. But I am not giving any kudos to his wife. I know, like you said, she came from humble beginnings and stuff like that. But they never brung this out about her. I mean, they always talk about first ladies being a certain way. And, you know, it's just...
Did I come off I'm sorry, I'm asking a question. Did I come off like I was giving her kudos? I hope I wasn't doing that.
I wouldn't say you came off, but no, you didn't. No, you was just saying that you felt that it wasn't fair for them to be...
No, appropriate would be a better word. I wouldn't say fair, but appropriate... That's not behavior that I would want my children seeing me sharing pictures of his naked wife on Facebook or something like that. I'm just thinking about not being like they are and being...
Well, you know what? At this point, all gloves are off. I mean, I got my gloves on.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they have said so many things about Michelle Obama, about Mr. Obama, little things he would do. He said something, and they made a whole... Anything that they would do, if he would look to the left, they said something. If he looked to the right, they said something. This man has broken all rules imaginable unto the presidency of the United States. I mean, look at his cabinet. People who don't have cabinet experience. I remember the first election. They talked about, oh, how Mr. Obama don't have national security experience. That's why they got Biden in there, because he would add to his cabinet. They're not talking anything about who has experience in these people's cabinet. So, you know, as I look at it and as we go through this election, Mr. Reed, as far as qualifications are concerned, no one can say anything about qualifications after this election. We have dumbed down the presidency of the United States. The world is laughing at us. Again, let me just say I'm not naive about white supremacy. We can have a white suspect in as being a president, but not someone as buffoon as he. He looks to me like a piece of trash. I mean, he has no style. No, I mean he just. I mean, do you really, you know, once upon a time, we always said, oh, one day, you know, I want my son to grow up as president, especially Caucasians. They always said they want their son to be president. How could you model after a Donald Trump? I mean, I could see, why don't you put someone who's more presidential in office who may be a white suspect?
Let me ask you a question. Are you aware that, can you hear me? Because it seemed like my voice is...
I can be perfectly fine, sir.
Okay, all right. Sometimes the board is lagging behind. I had these audio meters and it wasn't registering. But, I've heard Martin Luther King talk about strategy of the civil rights movement, those demonstrations where they were stressing nonviolence. And the backstory to the reason they were stressing nonviolence is, again, as I talked about earlier in the program, the power of media, Malcolm X talking about it. Television had just been around in the 50s when the civil rights movement really started in the 50s. And so Martin Luther King recognized the power of propaganda, and he wanted images of these uncodified, vicious, barbaric, racist attacking black children, policemen in uniforms, and all that. The establishment, he wanted those images to go out over the world. You can do a search and you'll find that. So let's look. So in that regard, why would we want anybody else other than Donald Trump in there? Because he provides tremendous propaganda value to counter racists, to people who are trying to fight against what he represents. And instead of falling into this, falling into this dream, like we are really part of this corporation, like this corporation is legit. You know, like it was less racist because a black person was in there, because you had a black family in the White House. It was not any less racist. And so they use proxy racist tools like that, the system does, to give the appearance. That's why Mr. Fuller came up with his term, racial showcasing. And what have you, the system showcasing these people to make it think that we made it. And what have you, why millions of other black people. So I want people to know the truth around the world about what this corporation represents. And he's a perfect he's a perfect face, the perfect
You're
brand.
You're right about that. You are.
He's the perfect brand.
That's a good perspective to look at it. That's true. I mean, that's very true. It's just that, you know, we have been brought up here that, you know, our president's supposed to be presidential and whatever. And you're right. He's not a closet case one. He's very openly about what he thinks and what he does, and he does it. I'm just saying that, you know, the bar has been lowered so much, Mr. Reed, right now, that they can never say about experience. I mean, you know, a comedian can run for president next time. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm just being so honest, because he was nothing more than a reality show producer. You know, he played the game extremely well, because, you know, people are just coming up to me saying, are you shocked? Did he really win? you know, and a lot of people are shocked. But, I mean, if you look at the statistics show that 53% of white women voted for him, 64% of white males. So when I come outside and I see this, I say, hey, it's alive and very, very well. And you're right. I mean, from your perspective, you're right. Why not have someone in the White House that really shows what America's about and not hiding? That's a very, 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 very good point.
Yeah, I think that's less dangerous than a white woman in there showcasing black people while killing black people and non-white people globally.
That's true. And one of the other things I'm I've been pondering is the fact that, you know, a lot of people people who always say that black people are lazy, they've been here for so long, and they're not doing anything. And you know, I always tell them that we've been fighting for a long time because of racism. And they say, oh, there's not really racism, that's just your mind. So I'm happy to know that now they understand that racism doesn't exist. I mean, we're here where we're at because of all the fighting and everything we've done. And they just got here, so they haven't lived in, you know, now they're living to see that racism does exist. So one of the things I'm happy about that, because they always would tell us, oh, you black people don't work, I don't want to do nothing, I come over here with nothing and I get this and I get that, and you know, it's no really racism. And you know, now they're really starting to see that there is racism. And then a lot of my friends were saying, like, you know, they're upset because, and I have this pet peeve too, is that they're asking more for bilinguals. And I just don't think it's fair, because I think that children in kindergarten should start to learn Spanish. Why is it that English as a second language is so prevalent? If we are to compete, then don't you think that, I mean, my daughter, thank God, she's 17, but she's been studying Spanish since she was in grammar school, and she wants to minor in Spanish, and she, you know, she's speaking pretty well. So I'm just saying that I think that there should be more Spanish classes.
Well, not for black kids.
Those people. Why should you have job listings as bilinguals only? I mean, I don't get that. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think that's fair when you live in a country where it's supposed to be English as a first language, but yet they try to get them up to snuff by providing English as a second language everywhere, in schools and everywhere. So I think that children in kindergarten, should start to learn Spanish if we are to become a more multilingual society.
I mean, we already are. When I was in Hawaii, I learned to speak, I forget what they call it, pidgin or something like that. It's nothing but a code language that was made up, sort of similar to what people might call Ebonics, except for these were Polynesian people, Asian people speaking this. And then over in Hawaii, you got the Japanese, you got the Chinese, you got the Hawaiians, you got the Samoans, you got the Fijians, you got the Filipinos there. So I mean, America's already a bilingual like that, a multilingual. I would not be putting any requirements that on our children already, and I'm talking about black children. Now, I was going to say, why we want our black children to speak Spanish? Why not an African language, whatever language that they speak in African countries, so that we can then be building those bridges that Malcolm talked about and establishing trade with our brothers and sisters in the diaspora? But I was going to say, but then I thought, well, a lot of black people, victims of the racists known as Spanish-speaking Europeans, so they speak a lot of Spanish. So a lot of black people do speak Spanish. So I can see where that will be a tool for establishing trade and other mutual beneficial relationships with our brothers and sisters in South America. Because I'm thinking about the Lotus Place. I think that was the Lotus Place I was listening to, where they had the brothers and sisters on about the travel. Yeah, you heard that program because you mentioned it to me. So yeah. But in terms of requiring in school, I don't think it should be a requirement. This would be left to the parents, and that's what I think.
English as a second language, they require that they learn how to speak
Now I can see maybe. Yeah,
I mean, if we're going to be competing. I mean, I'm just.
But to be honest with you, I was doing some research. because I was looking at how do I better market Black Talk Radio to Africa, because we don't have as many people tuning in from Africa. So I started doing research on language in Africa, and there are a lot of former colonies, European colonies, where those people in Africa still speak English, or English is a second language or whatnot. And I was like, wow. I was like, so I could target them with social media ads, because you can target social media ads based on regions and stuff like that. And that's a way for me to market our international radio network to people in Africa. So that led me down to further research, to when I then found that English is the primary language spoken in international business, doing international business. When I was working in sourcing for a textile company, all the people we were talking to in other different countries or communicating with email, they spoke English. So that's that personal experience where I've had with the international business community, where English is what's being used. So I just want, you know, people to have the accurate information. Yes, it's good for anybody to be able to speak more than one language, but I just don't want us to put more value on it at this point. Then there should be a reason you want your child to speak a specific language. And it should have to do with business.
I mean, especially with jobs, you know, you look on the job board.
Yeah, that's in Florida, in places like that.
They have, here you look on the job board, there's been a lot of ads for bilinguals only.
But again, why we got to make people do things? We shouldn't be making people do nothing. Either they're going to prepare their children or they're not. I don't think making it mandatory is going, that's just another, because language is not my strong suit, okay? When they tested me, and when you go in the military and you take the ASVAB test, my sister speaks Spanish. I got other people in my family that speak Spanish. I have difficulty learning another language. And so I would fail. That's a class I would fail. So why force me? It's not my native tongue. It's still a foreign tongue to Black people anyway. I don't even know what my native tongue would be. Would it be Cherokee, whatever indigenous tribe that one of my ancestors is from? Would it be whatever African tribe? I mean, so I'm not English, and let alone trying to speak another European language. So I don't want to put more on our children than we should.
People. I'm talking about children.
That's what I'm talking about, children. Then you causing these children.
You in kindergarten.
Listen, there is nothing. You could learn how to speak Spanish for free on the internet. You can buy little DVDs.
Who's getting on the internet to learn how to speak to as a kindergartner? I mean, I'm talking about they should have these incorporated in schools, because I remember growing up when I was a lot of Portuguese students who went to school with me. And let me tell you, Mr. Reed, within, I would say, okay, I started at school in kindergarten, not first year, kindergarten. I remember all my friends, and how by the fifth grade, they had this English as a second language. And I mean, they were up to snuff. They were speaking not only Portuguese, because Portuguese, they can Spanish people can understand Portuguese people. And they were speaking English. I remember Maria Baptista. I mean, I'm just thinking, recollecting over the years, and how they just got up to snuff speaking that language. Now, just think about it. Had I had those Spanish courses, learning how to speak Spanish as early as they did, speaking another language, where would I be today? You know what I mean? I'm just saying that you're right. It doesn't have to be a requirement. But if we're going to compete and they keep asking that we're becoming a multilingual country, I'm just saying that it isn't important that we get our children up to stuff if they're learning English. Because they have the bilinguals in their home. Their parents speak English.
We are struggling.
Surrounded by that. We're not, because if you have two English-speaking people in the household, you're going to be speaking English to them. I'm just saying, as an adjunct to have that, if we're going to compete and they're requiring that. It shouldn't be, no, you're right, it shouldn't be a requirement, but if they can say, yeah, we can do it. Because I'm just saying to myself, why am I starting to see so many bilinguals must speak another language? Is this going to be a trend? Is it something that our people should get prepared for, or should we start not preparing ourselves? Because are you trying to tell us something that we're going to have an influx now that, you know, because, I mean, think about this. Now, I know I'm being very long-winded. I'm going to cut it short. I think in the history of America, has there ever been a time when we, you know, you pick up the phone and they say, press 1 for English, press 2 for bilinguals? When all those people started coming to America, they always had English. It's never been to press 1 for something or press 2 for anything. When Italians came over here or whatever, it wasn't press 1 for Italian, press 2 for whatever. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm just, this is, you know, just know some critical thinking skills. Like, what is there to come? You want to be prepared. You want to prepare your child for to compete in the 21st century. So those are the things I'm just pondering about. That
okay. I understand. Thank you. I think we do got to have another caller. And I'll just say this again. I'll point you to the barbershop episode. He said something that made so much sense about why a lot of black people, he was talking about black people, and that's what we're talking about, our people. He was like, why they don't know laws, why they don't know the Constitution, why they don't know this, that, and the other. Some of the topics that we may, or information that's being relayed even on this station or whatnot. But like he said, most of our people is trying to survive in this system. And they ain't got time to be studying Spanish or studying this or that when they are worried about if they gonna have a full meal tomorrow. And it's like that for a lot of people. And we got people, children, struggling to even read English in this country. So while those who can, and there is nothing stopping an individual from having their children speak Spanish or whatever language, because you never know. Why Spanish? Why not Chinese? Since they are the emerging global market, seems like you would, I'm looking at it from my experience, that you're going to be going to China more. So if you want to impress your business contacts or whatnot, then you want those, knowing Spanish ain't going to help you in China. So again, these are skills that don't hurt to have. But when we're talking about survival situation or what have you here behind these enemy lines, I don't think whether we speak Spanish or not or any other language when our oppressor is speaking English, we need to understand what he's saying and what have you. In terms of me, I communicate with people even that they don't speak English. You know how? Because the internet has what's called translators and they can translate. I can take their text and copy it to a translator and it'll translate it to English. I have talked to people like that in France and with black people in France and other places. So technology is taking care of that as well. But we do got a caller, 423. Did you want to chime in with a question
or
comment?
How you doing tonight, Scotty?
I'm doing okay. So I'm surviving.
I had a few things, but to speak to what the young lady was speaking about, that it's a specific reason for that Spanish being the number two or maybe the number one language. First of all, every time we get to a point, when I say we, I mean us as a black community, we get to a point to where we get ready to break through that wall or that glass ceiling or what have you, we always, it's some type of detriment, whether it's an attack on us as a group, on the big families, famous black people, whatever it may be, we're always sent back to the bottom of the barrel. And a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure if I stated this on Tando, I'm pretty sure it was on Tando, but I was talking about the emergence of the Hispanics and how they let all of those immigrants in from Spain or any other Spanish-speaking country, and it's all meant to push us further down the totem pole. Every time, whether it was the Asians, they put them above us, and now the Hispanics, which makes us the fourth in the racial prospects, being white people first, Asians second, and now Hispanics third. And that's just an easy way to prepare, like you was talking about in the media, the propaganda to make sure that we learn. They put these subliminal messages out there so that we will know that that's what's getting ready to happen. They're preparing us to not even try to fight, to just go ahead on and submit to this Spanish-speaking language and just feel like, well, at least if we can do this, then. And that's a point that we've been in for a long time. As far as Obama, it was the same thing like you played yesterday when Donald Trump, the headlines read that he was saying stop the hate crimes. You know, they never say any of these things. And I'm going to point out the same thing I pointed out yesterday, is that he has been setting out certain executive orders for whoever was going to get into the presidency. He's setting it up, as the brother stated yesterday, he's setting up the pen so the next person, the next figurehead that come in can mow him down. And with that, I'm going to mute my line.
All right, thanks for chiming in on that. But my whole point was though on taking responsibility, a more simpler point, is that I'm seeing all these people supposed to be quote unquote leaders, but they never want to take responsibility. They want to blame other people, whether that be young black voters or just pick a group, pick a demographic, just blaming everybody. So instead of blaming themselves, leaders don't do that. Leaders take inventory of all the whole operation and determine what went wrong. And I pointed out the things in the context of running a political campaign where he went wrong. You thought that while a whole lot of people did vote for a criminal and a racist, and that's on both sides of the aisle, criminals and racists, while a whole lot of people, apparently a whole lot more people, didn't vote for them. And that's why it turned out the way, I mean, there's so many different reasons it turned out the way it turned out. But I do want to move on to some of these other stories. Let me take a station identification break and just inform you that you're listening to Black Talk Radio News here on the Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. All the stories I shared are on my profile on btrcommunity.com, a new online black social experience. So another article I wanted to just touch upon. So you had this black veteran who went into Chili's to get the free meal. And I've never tried to participate in any of those, right? But anyway, the manager checked his paperwork, and then after checking his paperwork, this old racist cracker with a Trump sticker on his walker accused the black man of lying about his service. So the manager then comes and takes the dude's food away. I mean, like, wow, it was just so surreal. I was like, man, you really sweating that meal like that? You didn't check the man's paperwork? And if he was that hungry to fake like he was so he could just get something to eat and still give it to him. But here's a clip from the mic. This was posted on Facebook, and we'll go ahead and take a listen because it was being recorded.
Now you question my military service and you question my service dog. Did you see my military service? Did you see my military service?
Sir, no. There.
Yes, you did.
All right, it's just showing a bunch of words. That doesn't translate well into audio. But Chili's later issued an apology for this. The man had apparently got the meal to go, the veteran to go. Showed him his papers and all of that. I guess showed another employee. And he's even saying that you looked at him. So I think he's talking about his DD-214, if I remember correctly. Mine is on file at the courthouse. I have a copy here, but I don't walk around with it in my wallet. I don't go running to on Veterans Day to Chili's or anywhere else to try to get a free meal and use that veteran status. But I just thought, you know, just Trump again pulling the hoods off of these racist crackers down here or wherever they may be. And so, but I've never, I really had a different thought than other people reacting to the obvious racism, but I've never accepted the butter biscuits from these restaurants. I'm not going to go through the trouble of producing my papers like my DD-214 just so I could get a free meal. If I was homeless, maybe. And if I'm not homeless, I'm not hungry, and I just decided I was going to do something nice for some, I'll go find a homeless person and let them have my free meal. Now, I have expressed regret over my military service in the past, but I did learn some things. And I learned a lot about global affairs and picked up a few skills, but I don't try to use that as no pass. It's no, cause I mean, you giving me trinkets for my service. What about all of these homeless veterans? I was listening to Change Matters Solution. They had a woman on today who works with women and helping women with their various issues, range of issues. They produce like a survival guide for Pasadena, and she said, "You'd be surprised talking to these homeless women, how many of them are veterans?" Okay, we've all heard the stories about the poor health care at the veterans hospitals and all of this and all of that. So I just never, I know I don't want your butter biscuits and all of that, because that, you don't really care about people who served in the military. You really don't. Or it wouldn't be so many of them killing themselves every day, because y'all want to keep practicing slavery and keeping cannabis illegal so they can't use that to treat their PTSD, despite all the scientific evidence that shows that it works and helps them with their depression and all of this trauma that they have experienced, as well as pain and what have you. I mean, all kind of scientific research. So don't, and then I did research that shows that at least 1 million of America's 2.5 million people that's in and out of jails at any time here, or prisons in the United States, over half of them, well, little under half of them, just about 50% of them are veterans. Why are there so many veterans in slavery in the United States? If people really, 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 really so wanting to thank them for their service and all this and that. But see, I'm not that, I came to the realization that, well, I went in there knowing my service was for myself, so I can get this GI Bill that I heard about, that I can get money, thousands of dollars for college. That's why I'm going in. Plus, I don't want to be one of these guys in one of these little cotton mill towns, and then I'm like 40, 50 years old and I'm retiring from the cotton mill place. Never seen the world, never travel outside of this little area. So I had different reasons for going into the military. But I then realized in the military what I was, a low paid mercenary for white supremacy, that global system. I don't really feel nothing for on this story. I don't feel no sympathy for this guy, but it's obviously like an act of racism. I'm glad that he was recording so we can get it out there about these races, as Jersey Girl brought up, or the propaganda value and what have you. But in terms of me feeling sorry for him, man, come on, dude, pay for your own meal, man. Pay for your own meal. Give that to a homeless person. I hope that's what you was going to do. Don't be taking these little trinkets and butter biscuits and what have you, these crackers, thanking you for your service when they don't mean it, and they just showed you that they don't give a damn about your service. And I came to that realization when I got out the military. So that's just some thoughts I had when I came across this story. Let me see. Man, we got to get out of here in just about 6 minutes. Some other stories I'll just share real quick before we get out of here. Thanks for those who chimed in. The corporate media, the ICC prosecutors, that is the International Criminal Court, is saying that United States forces may have committed war crimes and may for torturing detainees in Afghanistan. The International Criminal Court's chief prosecutor says in a report raising the possibility that quote unquote American citizens could be indicted even though Washington has not joined the global court. I talked about that earlier in the broadcast of how they support and encourage the formation of the International Criminal Court, but you just recently had African countries like South Africa leaving it, saying they don't do nothing but prosecute black people. They don't prosecute none of these European criminals or these American criminals. So now the ICC may be trying to gain some face or some legitimacy, saying that, oh, just because the United States and Israel, I think those are the only two, might be the UK or another European country, has not signed, don't matter. If you are in a nation that is covered by the International Criminal Court, there's no immunity for you in that agreement with that nation. If you are a US troop over here cutting off people limbs and taking pictures with them and just doing all kind of manner of evil, in addition to the soldier on soldier, U.S. soldier on soldier crime, raping people and all that kind of stuff. But yo, you can be indicted. See, this is a part of the global system of white supremacy. This is why I say we in the belly of the beast. We behind the enemy lines, because these people have immunity everywhere they go. And then all of their proxies, whether that's white, black, Hispanic, I met people from different nations that I went through basic training with. So I'm going to do that just to try to get citizenship. But we would be immune. If we went over there and let's say kidnapped and raped someone, some teenager or something, we'd probably get blanket immunity. Wouldn't get charged. We might get kicked out. But we wouldn't get charged. We wouldn't get prosecuted under war crimes. Now, the ICC says that it wouldn't even be looking at this if U.S. prosecutors were practicing justice and charging these people with crimes, but they don't. Again, CEO Obama came in the door prosecuting who? CIA torture whistleblowers. The people who actually engaged in torture and murder got a pass. So that's what we're saying, man. Next story that you should check out. Grieving father suing BLM, Al Sharpton, and other organizations. I asked the question, is this a grieving father being manipulated by a racist opportunist attorney or a useful idiot looking for a payday? The case, civil case, hinges on the First Amendment, and you just had an election where violent physical attacks against non-white people were encouraged by the CEO-elect Donald Trump, and they called it freedom of speech. They even investigated him here in North Carolina. But at the end of the day, of course, they said no charges forthcoming, but they investigated. This Donald Trump has First Amendment speech, but now you're going after these other people, regardless of their role in the system or who they are, and suing them, talking about they created an atmosphere where there's a civil war and cops are being targeted. So this father of one of the dead Dallas cops has filed this lawsuit, but it should be dismissed. But again, we are in a system of racism, so hey. But listen, on the flip side of that, how come nobody sued Sheriff David Clark for the things he said? He said in the paper, in a major paper, the Capitol Hill, I talked about it this week, called for an attack on Black Lives Matter, specifically said if these people come to your town and have a demonstration, push them out. in his Hill op-ed piece, he said they're scum and need to be eradicated, that there's a civil war. I think he got emotional after the killing. This came out right after the killing of those five Dallas slave catchers. So he called an open war. So then we could say then that who's the latest victim to get killed by one of these police slave catchers? We could say that we sue David Clark and say he responsible for the language that he used in telling people to kill us and to kill activists and to kill Al Sharpton and all these other people. So anyway, because this is a racist system, a racist society, and more than likely the judge is going to be a racist white male, as I think something upwards of 92% of judges are, very good chance you will have an all-white jury, maybe with a couple of proxy racist Americans on it, and they're going to be sympathetic to this cracker, and they're going to award him millions of dollars, even though this is a protected speech, according to what these crackers say and what the Supreme Court has said. But I thought that was interesting. Also, West Virginia official pulled off her own KKK hood, took to social media to call First Lady Michelle Obama an ape in heels. Very uncodified, which seems to be a side effect of the Trump selection. There are lots of codified and semi-codified racist crackers becoming completely uncodified, and that's a good thing. Pull them hoods off. Show us who you really are, so that the misguided masses won't be lulled to sleep about some American dream. Now, of course, the masses of black people are rightly pointing out this is an act of racism from a person working in the system towards another person working in the system. But this is why proxy racist tools are most effective weapon in maintaining the system of racism. I expect this woman, this official in West Virginia, to be reprimanded. She may even lose her position, but she will in no way be punished to the point to where she will be suffering like the billions of victims of the racist system that USA Inc. perpetuates globally with its partners, whether those partners be corporate states like France, the UK, United Kingdom, Italy, or if they're corporations known as states like Alabama, Maryland, Washington. Well, that's a District of Columbia. That's the actual USA Inc. right there. So, yeah. So those are my thoughts on that. I don't think there was anything else. Oh yeah, I tell you what, this requires me to have more time. Tomorrow or Thursday when I come back on air, I want to lead with this story about research saying that there are ways to reduce racial bias. Calling people racist isn't one of them. I would also say that, you know, this is part of what Mr. Fuller, I have heard him talk about, or others say he talks about, but no name calling. That includes the racist crackers in the room, man. We ain't supposed to call them racist crackers to their face, man. He's talked about, if you want to derail the conversation and you trying to bring about justice, the first thing to do to derail that is mention the R word. Accuse these racist crackers to their face of practicing racism. Then they are not susceptible to the anti-racism propaganda that you're supposed to be trying to program them with. They susceptible to programming just like everybody else. Except for very few of us learn to use these tools and turn it on the enemy, but we remain the victims of these weapons. So I want to give that more time. Again, Malcolm X said in the founding video, if you're a new visitor to the YouTube channel, Black Talk Radio, the video you will see of Malcolm X giving an interview talking about the power of media and how you can teach white people to stop practicing racism. He says to love black people. But racism is hate. Hate is racism. So if he's talking about love, he's talking about white people not practicing racism against black people. He said the media could be used that. He said y'all did it during World War II. You had the American public hating the Germans and the Japanese. Then after the war was over and there was a realignment of so-called superpowers, then you had them hating the Chinese and the Russians, who were your allies, and help you defeat the doggone Japanese. So y'all know the power that y'all had, this invention that y'all created called television news media, and you could use it to get these white crackers to stop practicing racism. You can also teach black people to stop being confused by the racist system, because you will stop producing racist programming that victimizes them and leads them to rely on the very system to solve this problem instead of taking the initiatives themselves. So this is research, what, 40, 50 years later, that's going to confirm the power of media and propaganda. Remember, media comes in many forms. So we'll take a look at that tomorrow. I'm at the end of my program. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for calling in and participating. Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So keep it locked right here on Black Talk Radio Network, the digital radio station providing you with new black media for the new millennium. If you would like to become one of our media partners, make a donation. You can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org. Make a donation of any amount. Join the BTR community, btrcommunity.com. You are therefore then a media partner. You are providing resources for us to expand and continue our propaganda operations, that we do not try to lie to people and say that we are not. We are trying to control minds for the good and not for the evil. So thank you to all those who have supported our propaganda operations over the years. With that said, recognize the fact you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Slavery is the supreme law of the land. Don't believe me? Read the 13th Amendment. Okay? And when you come to that recognition that slavery was never abolished, then racism will make more sense to you. You will then see how they use racism in a historical context to limit legalized slavery to black people only. That is what is going on. Slavery is the root. Racism is a symptom of that system that wants to target black people and subjugate them, and on a global scale, all non-white people. This system is not going to end itself. Can't reform it. We have to abolish it. We have to abolish slavery. Peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.